Well, I hope you have your Bibles open to Psalm chapter 23, and I hope you've been enjoying the chance to be able to look through God's Word in this passage. It's been very exciting for me, so at least I'm enjoying it as we go through it. But why don't we just stop and just look to the Lord right now. Lord, I ask that you would bless our time in Psalm 23. I ask that you would open our eyes to be able to see the Lord our shepherd. And I pray, Lord, that we would be able to confidently declare, "The Lord is my shepherd." Please open our eyes and open up your word to us today in your name. Amen. Well, we're not going to spend quite as long today looking at the word of God because we have a baptism in a little bit. You'll notice there's a few people in bathing suits and stuff around. They're either going to get baptized or they see the water and they find it's a hot day and they're going to jump in. I don't know, but we'll see how this turns out. If you notice in your Bibles there, in Psalm chapter 23, we talked about a couple of weeks ago how it starts out this way. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that is a huge part of the psalm. Like, it's easy for us to kind of read that and be comforted and encouraged and just kind of go on, right? But you can't go past that, those first two words, "the Lord," right? Because if Jesus, and it's talking about Jesus, if Jesus is not your Lord, you can't say, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's a personal statement. But when Jesus is your Lord, then you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then it becomes really personal and really wonderful. And when we come to this passage, we find that this is a passage that's a passage of great comfort and great care. It's a familiar passage, too. I think most people here, in and out of the church, a lot of people are familiar with it. And we talked about it, how it's a common passage that's read at funerals. Somebody passes away, and we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." And we find a certain amount of comfort in it. And we talked about how it has made its way into not just movies, but songs and all sorts of things throughout our culture and throughout our thinking. It's a big psalm, an important one. And we come to verse 4, and it says this, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." If you're reading through the psalm, you might notice that things have changed a little bit. Listen to kind of the feel of this. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." Do you see the peace? Do you feel the peace that we're talking about? You got the picture of a shepherd with his sheep, and he says, "Lie down here," and it's soft and it's comfortable. You're well cared for. And then we're talking about the valley of the shadow of death. Do you see the change? Right? We've moved. We've moved locations, and things are very different. There's a huge transition that happens here. And you got to ask yourself, what's going on? Right? How come I'm in a green pasture one moment, and how come the next I'm in the valley of the shadow of death? One of the things that this psalm does is it talks about how the Lord is my shepherd, not just in the green pastures, but the Lord is my shepherd in the valley of the shadow of death. We're talking about seasons of life here. Can I ask a question? Have any of you gone through the valley of the shadow of death in your life? About six of us? The rest of us, God bless you, right? But those six of us understand that. The rest of you will understand it one day. Actually, the truth is I would say most of us, if not all of us, the only ones who haven't experienced are probably infants, right? You go through the valley of the shadow of death. And we spoke last week about how the shepherd leads his flocks on the paths of righteousness, and part of that is keeping sheep on the move, and that they cannot remain in the same place for too long, or else they actually destroy the pasture. They lose their healthy food source, and they can grow ill. And because of this, a shepherd moves his flock, and as they travel, they experience valleys. And as Jesus is your shepherd and leads you through life, you will experience valleys, the valley of the shadow of death. And we all know that in our experience in life. We may not enjoy that, but we see that. Now, when we read about the valley of the shadow of death, we may picture going through simply difficult times, that we've ended up in a bad place and Christ is there to comfort us and meet us there. This is the image maybe we get. Suddenly I run up against a wall, I run up against a difficulty, and then Jesus shows up beside me. That's not really the right image. That's not really what this psalm is talking about. He's talking about something very different. And in a lot of ways that's true. We come across difficulties and Jesus shows up, but there's something else going on here. One of the problems with that is it puts us at the center of everything, and Jesus just runs to catch up. It's actually the opposite. We don't go where we want as sheep. What happens is the shepherd actually leads us. And when we enter into the valley of the shadow of death, it is because the shepherd has led us into it. Let that sink in for a moment. When we enter into the valley of the shadow of death, it means the shepherd has led us there. We didn't end up there by accident. Now, in the valley of the shadow of death, there is great danger. Let me reiterate, the shepherd has led us there. This is the place the shepherd needs to be extra vigilant because of the cracks and the caves along the sides of the valley are exactly where the predators, where the danger hides. And they would love nothing more than to devour a lamb. And yet the shepherd leads us in there. Do you realize, do you get that the shepherd leads us into the valley? Right? Do you see that? Some of you are in the valley right now. You're in a dark place. And you might look at this valley as simply a bad thing, but when we step back and realize that Jesus has led us in, it reveals a couple of things to us. In fact, it reveals about four things to us that are really important for us to see. That is, if we understand Jesus is kind, caring, and compassionate as the shepherd, it teaches us four things. The first one is this. He desires that we be there. Right? He doesn't lead us in there and say, oh, wow, how did we get here? Jesus is not that kind of shepherd. He leads us in there and it tells us he wants us in the valley. If you have a conviction that Jesus' desire for you is a nice, comfortable life, you'll struggle with this. A lot of times people will ask that really difficult question, how could a loving God allow bad things to happen? And one of the things that question does is it reveals a deep core belief that we believe that God's job is to make my life comfortable and stop bad things from happening. That's not his job. What Jesus is going to do is one day he will put an end to bad things. One day he will give us an eternity of peace. But in the meantime, he leads us through the valleys and he leads us through the green pastures. Jesus' desire is that we be there in the valley as we go through it. We need to be sheep, though, that draw close to Jesus. We need to realize we are in a tough, dangerous path of life and saddle up next to our shepherd. I find in life that a lot of times when people go through really rough times, they want to run away from the shepherd. Now get that image in your mind. You see the shepherd. And he's leading his flock through the valley. You know which ones are the safest? Which sheep are the safest? The ones that are standing all around him. And you may, as you're going through there as a sheep, see danger and get scared and turn around and hightail it out of there. And that turns us into, well, to be honest, it turns us into lunch, is what it does. Right? The safest place is near the shepherd. The wolves and the lions and the predators hiding in the shadows have an easy meal of us. The second thing that it teaches us is that it's not bad that we are there. Sometimes we look at difficult things at times as a bad thing, and hopefully none of us enjoy seeing someone else go through a difficult time. But going through a rough patch is not a bad thing. And I think this is important to see as well, that we are not being punished. Now, sometimes we turn against God and suffer because of it, but just because we are going through difficult times doesn't mean that God is displeased, because a shepherd leads his flock into the valley. When it comes to, I think one of the things that's helpful for us to see is to see the image of the parent with a child. What parent wants to crush their child? They want to build their child up. And in parenting and in life, a foolish parent rescues their child from every kind of pain and every kind of difficulty and every kind of challenge. A wise parent walks with their child through the difficulties. The shepherd loves you enough that he will lead you into the valley and walk with you through that valley, because he has a greater desire for you than just giving you an easy, comfortable life. He wants to turn you into the sheep that he desires that you be, the men and women that he desires you to be. But the fourth thing is this, is that Jesus leads us into the valley. This sounds like a bad joke, like why did the chicken cross the road, but it's not. It's Jesus leads us in the valley to get us to the other side. And here's one of the interesting things about shepherds with sheep. They don't just lead them into a valley for the sake of, hey, here's a valley that's dangerous, let's go in here. They lead them into the valley because on the other side, there is a good, healthy pasture for the sheep. Because Jesus has a purpose for doing these things, and he leads us through these places. There is a purpose to his actions, and he will lead us through difficult paths. We may not always understand why he has led us into the valley of the shadow of death, but sometimes the reason is because he's taking his flock up the side of the mountain, where there is good food, where they can grow and thrive and be strong and be healthy. The reason Jesus leads you into the valley may simply because he wants to get you somewhere else. Don't run from the difficult times. Stick close to the shepherd. When Jesus leads us in the valley, there are dangers there. And that's where, in terms of sheep, that's where the predators lie. That's where they hide. They hide in the cracks, in the caves, in the crevices, in the shadows. That's also where we should be most keenly aware of our need to stick close to the shepherd. And I mentioned this before. Unfortunately, it's in those times that many people want to run away. They see the danger, and they want to turn and hightail it out of there. There are many who will run from God the moment life gets difficult. But as we enter the valley, we need to stick close to Jesus. Now, I hope all of you have found ways to set up a pattern in your life of spiritual disciplines. What I mean by that is spending time with the Lord in prayer and in reading and in Bible study. Now, I say that, but truth be told, all of us struggle in that area, right? That's why it's called a discipline, because it takes work to make it part of our lives. Sometimes it's natural to pray, and sometimes it's natural to run to God's word. It's just what our hearts cry out for, but a lot of times it takes a great deal of effort. Those things are worth the effort, developing those in our lives. And we should put the effort in, and we should develop a close relationship with Jesus Christ through things like prayer and through Bible study and through Bible reading. It's during the difficult times that oftentimes it will seem the hardest to do that. But make sure you spend time alone with Jesus. Quiet your heart before him and trust him. Let me take us back to the shepherd image. In the midst of the valley, as there is the danger and as you look around and you see the shadows and you realize, I'm in trouble here, make sure your one side is leaning up against the shepherd step by step. Here's one of the things that you realize. Picture a shepherd with his flock around. You know there's a limited number of sheep that can be right next to the shepherd, right? Right? There's maybe, what, four that can go around, maybe six that can be right around him, and the others are farther and farther out. That's the reality with a human shepherd. The reality with Jesus is that every single one of us can be leaning against him as we walk. Be leaning against the good shepherd as you walk through the valley, as you walk through the green pastures as well, but as you walk through the valley. Now, let me point out something very practical for us as a church in terms of the valley of the shadow of death, and we can apply this personally as well, but this has been one of those things that God's been kind of tormenting my heart with over the last couple of months in terms of the church. And the valley of the shadow of death really points something out about this. Sometimes we can look ahead to a valley, a difficult path. We can see it coming, and we can see that it may take us up the side of the mountain. We can see everything that's up there already. We can't see everything, but we know that it's the route to take to climb higher, but the valley scares us. And as a church, we can rationalize away our path ahead. We can start to forget that the shepherd is leading us through and pull back from the shepherd because of the scary times we see ahead. We can start to forget that the shepherd will provide and protect, and we can sit back and stay still, remain in one field and destroy the pasture. What I'm saying is this. We as a church are in an interesting point, an interesting spot in just our own growth and development. We have the potential right now of settling down. Now think about that for a moment. We have the potential of settling down. We can look back at the valleys and the challenges that we have gone through. We can speak about how the Lord has led us together. We can speak about how he's bound us together. What Jerry mentioned just a few minutes ago about how we were close and we have this loving relationship with one another. That's true, isn't it? right? We are a church that just has been brought together by the Lord and has been wonderful. And we can look back at the valleys that he's led us through and how the Lord has built us up and how he's provided for this building, how we've grown together and our love for one another has increased. And we can sit back in this field and never risk anything again. We can settle. 10 years from now, we'll likely have a few new faces. We'll likely not have others. Maybe the building will be paid off, maybe not. Maybe we'll be doing some nice, comfortable outreach and Bible studies. And we'll be still telling the stories about how the Lord led us at the beginning. We'll be telling the stories of the valleys we walk through. That's not enough. It's not enough. Christ doesn't settle down like that. That's not being obedient to the Lord, our shepherd. He is the one who takes us to the green pastures, but he will lead us into new valleys ahead. And if you are expecting to follow the shepherd, expect that he will lead you into more challenging, difficult, and dangerous times. Expect it. If we as a church are expecting to follow the Savior, expect he will lead us into more valleys. Expect it. Right? It's a given. And when they come, don't look at the sides of the valleys and forget that your shepherd is there. Don't look at the shadows and forget that Jesus is there. Don't consider the challenge without remembering that your shepherd is greater than all the challenges. We can risk things by moving forward, by following Christ into the next valley, or we as a church can settle down and wait to die. In our own spiritual lives, we can risk things by moving forward or settle into a comfortable life and wait to die. You see, there's two aspects. One is we end up in the valley of the shadow of death, and the answer is step up next to the shepherd. Other times, we can come to the edge of it, and we can see the danger, and we can shy away and say, I'm not going in there. In every case, the answer is stick close to the shepherd, even when he leads us in there. As a church, can we risk things with starting this new church, buying a building and more, and then sit back content that we have walked through rough times and refuse any more risk? I hope not. I hope not. But David goes on from here. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Can't miss that part. I will fear no evil because the shepherd is with me. This part of the passage is pretty simple to understand. Sometimes it's hard to trust, but it's simple to understand. Here's what it's saying in a nutshell. When the psalm says, I will fear no evil for you are with me, in a nutshell, just kind of as plain as can be, what it means is, I will fear no evil for you are with me. You got it? Right? It's about as simple as it gets, right? He's not being complex there. He's saying, I'm not going to fear evil. You know why? Because Jesus is right there. Christ will lead us into difficult times, and we may even be surrounded not just by challenges, not just by difficulties, but we may be surrounded by evil. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. But I won't fear it because Christ is there. In the midst of the valleys, Jesus is there. He is still the one who makes us lie down in green pastures. Even when the pastures aren't around, they will come. He is still the one who restores our souls. But then he goes on from there and he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I will admit, this part of the psalm has oftentimes confused me. And I ask myself the question, what's with this rod thing? And what's with the staff? I mean, they're obviously different, right? So he doesn't say, your rod-like staff will comfort me. See, I always pictured a shepherd standing there with that staff, you know, like with a little crook in it. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, where's the rod fit in? What is with that? Like, that makes no sense to me. And then I ask myself, well, what is the difference between those two things? And if we can understand the difference, why would they comfort us? Do you see a shepherd's staff and get a sense of comfort? Like, I don't. I mean, when I see an image of a shepherd, like you see the shepherd's staff there up on the screen with the sheep. If I saw a shepherd standing with the staff, with the sheep all around, I would think, well, that's a great picture. It's a nice picture and everything, but I'm not filled with this incredible, enduring comfort, right? There's got to be something else going on here. The first thing we need to understand is what a rod is. Shepherds in the Middle East would tend to carry something called a rod, and the rod would be very personal. It was kind of like a little club. And what they would do, it's not as if you would go to the rod store and say, oh, let me check out the cedar one there. Oh, it's not real. Oh, the oak one. Yeah, that has a nice feel for it. How much for that? 82 shekels. Well, here you go. It wasn't like that kind of thing. It was a young shepherd boy would head off into the forest. He would find a tree and he would, like a small one, and he would cut it down, and it's thicker on the one end and thinner on the other. He'd cut it, and he would whittle it down, and he would turn it into something very personal for him. His size, it would just fit his hand. He would get used to it. He would get used to the weight, and he would practice with it. Practice using it as a weapon. Practice throwing it and develop some accuracy with it. And it became his tool to protect the sheep. He could use it for a number of things. He could use it as a weapon that he could use to protect the sheep, a tool of discipline for wayward sheep. I remember reading about a shepherd who would take the rod, and if the sheep was going astray, he would actually, well, he would throw it at the sheep, and the sheep would, oh, okay, I guess I'm going the wrong way, and he'd go and pick it up. He could use it to count the sheep, to examine the sheep for disease and for wounds and for more. Do you begin to get an idea of how this can cause comfort? The rod as a weapon becomes a symbol of the shepherd's strength as he fights off threats to the sheep. The sheep see that weapon and know they are safe because the shepherd uses it to protect. Do you realize how powerful our shepherd is? We get the image in our minds of the Lord our shepherd, and we see that painting of that nice, gentle man holding the staff there and the sheep around, and we see a certain amount of calmness. We see him like passivity. We see a kind of a, well, is he dangerous? Is he powerful? Do you realize how powerful our shepherd is? He is far more than just some shepherd who has certain weaknesses, who will not see everything. He is somebody who sees it all and knows everything and has no limit to his power. Should we fear anything? If a shepherd can comfort sheep with a stick, how much more can God Almighty comfort us with his infinite power? Certainly we are safe. This doesn't mean nothing difficult or painful or bad will happen. But in it all, the shepherd is with us and he maintains control over the situation. You know, it functions as well as a form of discipline, and we find that God's word for us becomes a lot of that. It instructs, it directs, it puts us in our place when we go astray. This is perhaps why it's so difficult to spend time in God's word at times. The shepherd will direct us and lead us through his word. Those of you who study the word of God a lot, you know this. And I hope more and more we're all studying the word of God more and more. You'll learn this, that the Lord speaks to us through his word as we study it, and he corrects us. Have you ever experienced that? You get into God's word and you find out you're totally off base. God says, no, that's not the way I am. No, that's not what I'm doing. Let me show you who I am. Let me show you what I'm up to. And you come to that point where you say, okay, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. He uses the word of God as a rod to redirect us. The shepherd will direct us and lead us through his word. But there's also the staff. A shepherd's staff is somewhat unique in the sense that it identifies him as a shepherd. Have you ever seen an auto mechanic carrying a shepherd's staff? Nobody? All right. Have you ever seen, I don't know, the prime minister carrying one? No? It tends to be one of those things that if somebody's carrying it, we know they're either one of two things. They're either a shepherd or they're in a Christmas play and they're pretending to be a shepherd, right? It tells us that, right? The staff does that for us. The staff with the crook on the one end says, I'm a shepherd, everyone. The crook in the end of the staff can be used to reach out, grab hold of sheep, to draw it in for closer examination. A shepherd's staff can be just for the sake of touch, to lean on the sheep and say, I'm here. Don't worry, I'm right next to you. You know, I remember in Philip Keller in his book, The Lord is My Shepherd, he talks about how he would walk next to certain sheep and he would just lay his staff on their back as they walk together. And it was a way for him to communicate to the sheep, I'm right here. We're close. The staff becomes a symbol of identity, and the staff becomes a symbol of relationship. For us, we find that the Lord draws us to himself, and we can feel that pull into relationship with him. That is an indication that God is at work in our hearts. And these two, the rod and the staff, they comfort. The rod declares to us as sheep, we are safe. There is no danger. There is danger, but there is no danger that is greater than our shepherd is powerful. We don't always understand everything, but our shepherd is greater than us, and we can trust him. The staff declares, he is here. He's here. That's who he is and what he's about. It pulls us in, and it lets us know he is around. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, with this statement and with this passage, with this verse, ultimately, the valley we face, the greatest valley we face, the shadow of death, is the valley of sin and death. The valley of sin and death, that what it does is it divides us from the shepherd. And ultimately, as sheep, as we spoke about last week, the shepherd restores. Ultimately, the matter that spiritually that comes before all of us, before we can truly declare the Lord is my shepherd, is this matter of I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, of sin and death, and I'm stuck there. And the sheep needs a shepherd. And Scripture talks about that, that we are lost in our sin. All by ourselves. Because of sin, we are left in that valley. We have gone astray and we are left there and we are left to the dangers all around. And the shepherd comes along and he sacrifices himself in order to run up to the sheep and say, you are mine. The Bible says, it puts it this way, by grace are we saved, by a gift of God through faith. And the way we become sheep of the shepherd is through believing in Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're away from the shepherd, you don't have that relationship with him. I say this all the time, right? But there's nothing more important in your entire life than what goes on between you and God. And this is the matter, this matter of, am I a sheep of the shepherd? Can I truly declare the Lord is my shepherd? Scripture talks about how all it is a matter of coming to him in faith. We believe that he is the Son of God. We believe that he has died for our sins to make us clean, to wipe it all away. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord, we say, you're mine, I'm following you, and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be his lamb. You will be his sheep. If you're here today, I invite you to give your life over to him. Talk to somebody here who knows and loves Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There's nothing more important in your entire life than what goes on between you and God. Just a few minutes, we're going to have three people come up and give testimonies of what God has done in their life in drawing them into his flock and making them his own. And then we're going to go out and take part in the baptism in just a few minutes. But why don't I close in a word of prayer as we go into this time. Father, I thank you for all of this. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the shepherd. I thank you, Lord, that your shepherd, that you as the shepherd saves us. As you said, Christ said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I thank you that you have done that for us, to save us from the valley of sin and of death. And I thank you as we continue to follow you, we continue to experience that incredible comfort, that incredible care, that incredible leading. And I ask you, Lord, for anyone here who doesn't know you, I ask that today they would come to know you. And for anyone here who does know you, who can confidently say the Lord is my shepherd, help us to stick close to you. I know our hearts tend to lead us away sometimes. Draw us in, I pray. In your precious name, amen.